Man, it's like this is like a fat turkey, all things apostolic, just fat with good news. So stay tuned. You're just not going to want to miss this. It's just phenomenal what God is doing. So welcome to All Things Apostolic. We are so glad that you are here today with us on September the 30th, 2024, the year of our Lord. And we're glad that you've dropped by in your busy day. We love to be with you on All Things Apostolic every Monday. And Jennifer Barrett is here hosting All Things Apostolic every Tuesday. And Dr. Casey Sees is here hosting All Things Apostolic every Wednesday. And so 3 days a week, here we are, and we're glad that you have joined us today. One of the things we like about All Things Apostolic is all of our friends that gather with us every week. We gather and we talk about good things. Now, sometimes we may talk about problems or so forth, but most of the time we're talking about good things. And today I've got a sack full of good things that God is doing and that we get to be a part of. So again, welcome. If this is your first time, don't let it be your last. We're glad that you're with us. I am Nathaniel Wilson, and All Things Apostolic is connected with Wilson University, of which I am the president for the next 90 days. And then I will become the chancellor. And we have elected a new president. So this is the first time we've announced this on All Things Apostolic. And our new president is Dr. Well, he will be in about 90 days, Dr. Curtis Miles Young. And this is a committee that appointed this. I did not vote on this. I did not have anything to do with the committee's final decision. I wasn't in the meeting, but this committee, presidential search committee, had four of the finest candidates that you can imagine. Any one of them could have done a tremendous job. What really happened is right in the middle of the search process, there were some things we didn't know about the school moving into being eligible for financial aid, where all of our students can get government financial aid. And we're in the process of doing that. It takes time. It'll probably be 24 months before we can get that accomplished. But in the middle of that, we also learned that there's certain conditions that Dr. Young, soon to be, met, and certain opportunities and availability to things that the school needed that was just impossible to find elsewhere. And so my understanding is the committee went in that direction primarily for that purpose, because like I said, all four candidates, any one of them could have done and would have done, we do not doubt one bit, would have done a great job. And our biggest hope is those men who are deeply involved in Wilson University continue to exert their influence and lean into what is happening here. Anyway, so a lot of great reports, good things in New Orleans, New Orleans, Louisiana. This weekend, I don't think they have an evening service, maybe for young people, but I think their main service is in the day and on every Sunday. And then on this particular Sunday yesterday, 10 new people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, this isn't a home missions church, but this is not a great big church either. But 10 new people received the Holy Ghost, and a number were baptized. Then that night in a youth gathering or informal gathering, several more received the Holy Ghost, and another one got baptized. So this is like a banner day for this church in New Orleans, pastored by Brother Monty Young. In fact, he is the younger brother of our president-elect, Miles Young. And so this church is coming into apostolic revival, and we're excited about that. It is it's just an exciting thing. If we stop to talk about all the churches who are having revival and people praying through and the good things that happen, I think we'd be here tomorrow morning still talking. There are so many good things happening in so many places. If you're not having revival, revival is here. And it's time to say, I'm moving forward in the flow of what God is doing. And this isn't just preachers, and this isn't just churches. But for example, one of the precious people in the Rock Church here locally, Brother Mike and Sister Beth Bouse. You might have heard of Sister Beth Bouse. Brother Mike is an aeronautical engineer, actually a scientist of some kind. And she is a licensed marriage and family counselor and has written books and has been over most of America teaching and so forth for the last number of years. Got connected years ago with Wilson University, was a member of Inland Empire Church in Inland Empire of California in Rialto, Pastor Booker. And then her daughter moved here, worked here in the school for a period of time. She was our registrar, and now is the founder of Wilson Academy, which is growing rapidly, which is K-12 online for people that are concerned about the way public schools are going and about putting their children in them. And if they don't have a school in their church and they don't know what to do, now there's an alternative, and that's Wilson Academy Online. So you can find that website, Wilson Academy Online, if you're interested, and they'll be glad to help you. But Amber, who was Amber Bouse, is now Amber Aston. Her and her husband really founded and got off the ground Wilson Academy. It's a corporation. It's not individually owned, but a nonprofit corporation. And it's doing a great job. Anyway, with their grandkids, the Bouses ended up here in Sacramento to be with and to help with the grandkids. Well, but Sister Bouse still goes and does these things. Well, she got into a woman's prison. I have to look at the numbers here. They're so amazing and so astounding that it's just something else. And so recently she and, I don't know, maybe one or two other women went to a women's prison. This is in Miami, Florida. This is in the last month or so. She went to this women's prison, got permission to talk to the women in there and to preach to the women and witness to the women. And the prison was glad to have her. And so her and one or two others, maybe three or four others, I don't know. But I know Beth was the leader here, and went into the place, got there at 7:30 in the morning. That's when they were supposed to get there. The woman in the prison had been invited to the church service or the meeting that she was holding. And when they got there, women had been standing in line to get into the meeting since 6 a.m. That's how hungry they were to hear somebody that they felt like had a message that could help them. And the results of being in the prison on that particular day was 57 new women got baptized in Jesus' name on that day, 57. So this is an incredible thing. There's and some of you know this, but there's a revival going on, a real revival going on in Americans' prisons. So last week she was in, I guess this is how you say it, Wackenhut Prison. It's in Holly Springs. It's a men's facility. And they invited her and one or two others or three or four others to come in and talk to those men about the gospel. It was an open door for her specifically. And they went into this facility. They ministered to these people. Before the day was over, they baptized 260 men in Jesus' name. 260 men. And maybe there was a few more, but there was 260 that got baptized in Jesus' name that day. This is, Beth said many of them received the Holy Ghost. So I don't know how many received the Holy Ghost, but many of them. So these are great things. Then where else? They'd tell me they'd been. They had been to Potts Camp, Mississippi. Have any of you ever been to Potts Camp, Mississippi? Potts Camp, Mississippi is a little spot in the road. You know how the South is. It has these little towns, and it looks like there's not many people there at all. And you walk, and you get there, and there's a great big Apostolic Pentecostal church. It looks like kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But you got to understand the geography and the logistics of life in the South. And people live in these woods, and they live all around. And so it's a little bit different. You know, you don't want to underestimate the power that's going on in these churches. Well, this particular church in Potts Camp, I've been to the church there. The present pastor I've met, but the past pastor I knew well. And it's a tremendous church. It's not some little bitty church. So anyway, Beth was invited to come for an addiction recovery service that they were having. I've got to look here and see, because I want to get this just right. But this was for people, I think, with any kind of addiction. And the people came and they filled up. There was probably close to 400 people there, as I understand it. And out of that addiction group, 37 men and women, as a result of that service that day. Now, maybe they'd had Bible studies before, but on that day, it was the terminus. It was the crossroads. It was the praxis where the crossroad of each of those people's destinies and lives crossed with the gospel and with a decision for Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, 37 of them were baptized that day, men and women were baptized. So this is just, and then Beth and Mike were back home for church yesterday, and they brought this report. Now that's apostolic. That's apostolic. The Bible says when persecution came to Jerusalem that the people went everywhere preaching the gospel. Well, the preaching, the word preaching there is not the normal word for preaching. It's the normal word for gossiping. So everybody may not be able to preach like in a formal sense, but a lot of people are gossips. A lot of people are gossips. So we don't want people to quit gossiping. We just want them to quit gossiping any negative things and gossip the gospel. And so here's people that they could say, well, I'm just a woman, or I'm just a lay person, but it may be high time that we recognize that the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. And I've told the story. When I was in high school, I lived in a little farming town, a small community, but it had tens of thousands of acres around it of all kinds of produce. But the primary crop was, and the primary crop still is, grapes. Now, almonds have risen. It's the second among those crops. And then there's on down other crops. And I think, I don't remember third, but fourth is pistachios, and fifth or sixth is dairy products. But it's all agricultural. Well, in the grape vineyards, most of the grapes there are some what they call wine grapes that get crushed. But there's also mostly there raisin grapes. Raisin grapes are cut into a pan. When I was a kid, I did this for school clothes, a young teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old. You cut them into a pan, and then next to the vine rows, there's a place where they smooth the dirt out real smooth. You don't walk out there. You lay a paper tray on that, and you lay a wooden frame over that paper tray. You dump your pan full of grapes in there. It's a pan about this big around. And then you gently spread them. You don't smash them. You gently spread them around on the tray. They lay there in the sun does its work of turning them from grapes to raisins. Anyway, when those grapes are laid in those trays, those farmers are praying, don't rain. They don't want it to rain, because if it rains, it's going to wreck. It's going to be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars lost in raisins. So I can remember on a Monday while I was in school one time, and it got cloudy. This is like in September. Usually you don't have to worry too much about rain in California, but it was close moving into the end of September, and it got cloudy, and rain was predicted to start that afternoon. And they came in and they announced to all of us in class, you can leave, go to the fields. And they actually assigned us, depending on where we lived when we got home, to go to the closest field and help harvest these raisins that were within 3 or 4 days of being ready, which they could be wrapped up in the paper and harvested and taken out of the field before it started raining. And so we went. I remember going home. I was too young to drive, getting on my bicycle, riding about 3 or 4 miles down Kearney Boulevard to the field where I was assigned to work. And going out there and going to work, rolling those trays up, wagons going in the row next to you, you roll them up and you throw them across the vines into the wagon to be taken in to be processed and cleaned and whatever else is done. So, but when the harvest is there, there was kids out there that had never harvested before, that like me, they'd cut grapes. They call it cutting grapes, and they put them on the trays, but they'd never been in the process of how to pick them up without spilling them and how to roll them in a certain way where you could throw them over the vines into the trailer that was next. All of that, there was people that didn't have any knowledge of it, but they were in the field that day and people were glad to have them because they didn't want to lose the harvest. So Jesus said, grain is white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And so thank God for laborers in his vineyard. Well, I also want to tell you before I go, I just got home. My voice is still hoarse. We flew home and our flight got canceled and had to spend the night halfway through the trip. And the night was absolutely a nightmare. And probably slept 2 hours, got up the next morning at 5:30 to catch the next flight. On it goes, just all of the things that go with trauma. So I told my wife, I said, you got to remember, though, in the days when they were riding on stagecoaches, I was really reaching out here to keep her encouraged. In the day they were riding on stagecoaches, they could be out in the middle of nowhere in a wheel break, and they just had to sit there maybe for a day or two until somebody came by that could tell them in town the stagecoach needs a new wheel or needs a new whatever. So, you know, it's all part of life. This is just part of life that we have to put up with, because the first two letters of the gospel is go. Anyway, we were coming home from National Challenge Week, which we hold every year. It's in Birmingham, Alabama. This year was the 25th, 26th, 27th, which is last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Incredible success, incredible stuff, incredible move of God, incredible gala in which we laughed, we cried, we prayed, we rejoiced, we heard new announcements of things that are happening with Hope Corps and with Wilson University and with adjunct ministries that's attached to that and with the Youth Council of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship, and a presentation for the Education Council of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship, and two presentations for CAPS, the Center for Apostolic Pentecostal Studies. So there was all kinds of breakout sessions. It was just incredible. It's at the New Life Church in Birmingham, pastored by Stephen Collins and founded by Bishop Barry Sutton. It's a tremendous church. It's got all of the stuff that is needed to to house, at this point, Challenge Week. Challenge Week will be twice as big next year. I'm just going to tell you, it is so good. You don't want to miss it. Next year will be September 24th, 25th, 26th. And I went overtime, and I've got a real important phone call. The phone is ringing even as I speak. So I'll see you next week. God bless you.